We'll read again in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. That's our starting point tonight. Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." And in verse 17, Paul says it's a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Literally, Paul says it's from faith to faith. It's a righteousness that is from faith to faith. It's by faith from first to last. These words were among the first words that ever entered my consciousness when I was a newborn Christian. The friend who's sharing of the gospel with me was responsible under God for bringing me to Christ, was himself quite a new Christian, and he was super excited about being a Christian, and he was a very extrovert personality as well, and he didn't mind making big statements. And one of the big statements he made was to get some old wallpaper and get a big fat felt pen, and he wrote on this big bit of wallpaper these words, "A righteousness by faith from first to last." And he stuck this big bit of wallpaper on his bedroom wall. And I came in to that bedroom, not as a Christian, one particular afternoon, not knowing that he'd become a Christian, and I saw this, and I couldn't for the life of me make out what it was all about at that point. But I very, very quickly afterwards discovered, as I myself began to trust, began to have faith in Jesus Christ. But it struck me this week again that my journey as a Christian is really all about discovering what this means and discovering more of what this means. That my standing with God, and indeed everything I have from God, is by faith from first to last. So let me challenge you at the very outset this evening. Let me challenge you at the outset to consider for yourself if you've grasped this yourself, that being a Christian is a matter of living by faith from beginning to end. That faith is how we live as Christians. It's the nature of our present existence as Christians, as it says at the end of verse 17, the righteous will live by faith. You can read that in different ways. Does it mean the righteous will live by faith, or does it mean the righteous will live by faith? And I think it's actually the last, but the clear thing is that to be a Christian means that faith is the nature of how you continue your relationship with God. And so we want to ask this evening, first of all, are we people who are living by faith? Are we actually living in such a way that what conditions and controls and determines the way we live is not just the stuff that we can see around us and the things that our five senses can readily appropriate, and what's on the news, or what our neighbours are doing, or what our parents taught us when we were growing up, or whatever. But actually, the thing that really controls the way we live is the fact that we have a God and Saviour who, although we cannot see him and we can't access him by our senses, is absolutely personally very real to us, and who is at work in our lives, and we are living by trust and faith in his personal presence there. Faith is central. And what we get by faith, says verse 17, is righteousness. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. And I really hope that every one of you have made this discovery already in your lives. It's a discovery which my friend had obviously made very early in his Christian life, and he just wanted everyone to discover it. It's a discovery that John Bunyan struggled and struggled and struggled, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, struggled to obtain. At one point in his despondency of trying to get peace with God, God just broke in on his life with this very simple understanding: your righteousness is in heaven. And he realized it wasn't about how well he did on earth that determined his peace with God, but how well Jesus has done, the Jesus who is in heaven, our righteousness. So it's there. Let's think about righteousness for a minute. It's there. It's a righteousness from God. And as verse 17 says, it's there. There is a righteousness. There's a righteousness for you. There's a righteousness available for you tonight, so that you can be righteous. It's there for you. It's there if you want it tonight. If you want righteousness tonight, if you want to be righteous, then it's not something that you're going to strive and struggle to achieve and one day look at yourself in a very self-righteous and complacent way and say, I've done it, I've made it, I've arrived. It's not going to be like that. Never, ever is it going to be like that. Instead, it's a righteousness from God. It's something that's given. It's a gift. It's free. It's full. It's complete. And it's absolutely adequate for all your needs. And it's there if you want it. As verse 16 says, the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. So everyone who believes, any particular person who believes, that could be you, it could be the person who's across the road in the pub tonight or whatever. If they put their faith in Jesus Christ, then that righteousness is for them, that salvation is for them. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, then that righteousness is yours. It's for everyone who believes. It's a righteousness that is by faith. And you can live in the joy of that righteousness. You can live in the joy of having that righteousness constantly, because you can just trust constantly. It's a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. It's from faith to faith, literally. It's just that we can keep living and in faith and continuing to believe and continuing to draw comfort from the fact that because we believe in Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, that we are righteous in God's sight. And the more that you and I believe tonight in that, and the more that we believe that our righteousness, Jesus Christ, is in heaven, our righteousness, Jesus Christ, is perfect and is all that we will ever need from God, the more that we believe that, the more it will be, to use the words of verse 16, the more it will be gospel. The more it will be good news for us, the more it will change us, the more we'll enjoy of what Paul means in verse 16, by salvation. The more we'll grasp, the more we'll enjoy, the more confident we'll be with God, because we're righteous. See, if you know that you're righteous, if you know that you're righteous because of Jesus, then you have confidence towards God, because you know that you're showing God yourself as a righteous person, a person who is righteous because of Jesus. That is what God is seeing of you. And if you know that, then not only can you be confident towards God, but you can expect to be close to God. Why would God not be close to a righteous person? God is very friendly. God loves to be close to those he can be close to. And he can be close to anyone, man or angel, who is righteous. And he will be close. He will delight in that fellowship and friendship. And we can expect that. If we are full of faith in what Christ is to us, as our righteous Saviour, then we can expect to be close to God. And we can experience more and more of what Paul means in verse 16 when he speaks of the power of God for salvation. We can experience more and more of God's power at work in our lives. So you see, believing in Jesus Christ, believing our risen Saviour, which makes us righteous, because it's a righteousness from God, it's a righteousness that is by faith, believing begins us to be, or instates us and establishes us in a position before God where we are righteous, and where because we're righteous, we can increase and increase in confidence towards God and in closeness to God and experience God in our lives. Let's have a little picture. Let's have a picture of God's presence. And in God's presence, there is a great storehouse. Great storehouse God has. And it's loaded with stuff. If you go into the storehouse of God, you'll see the shelves are absolutely groaning under the weight of Christ's righteousness. They're just full of righteousness. But you know what? It's getting dusty. Those shelves are getting dusty. The righteousness on those shelves is getting dusty because for so many Christians, well, for so many people who aren't Christians, they're not doing anything with it. And for so many people who are Christians, they're not taking any comfort from it, as they should. But you and I, as Christian people, with faith in Jesus Christ, we can go into that storehouse. That storehouse which is full of the righteousness of Jesus. And we can fill our baskets, if you like, or our trolleys. Yeah, let's have a big trolley. Let's fill our trolleys with all the righteousness that we need to cover all of our sins. We can do that. We can fill our trolleys in the storehouse of God, which is full of Christ's righteousness. Righteousness to cover lying. Righteousness to cover adultery. Righteousness to cover fear. Righteousness to cover worry. Righteousness to cover all the deceits and conceits of our hearts. It's all there. Just go and pick it all off. And you can find righteousness to cover all your sin. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then take your trolley groaning under the weight of all that righteousness that you need to the checkout in God's storehouse. And you'll find this. There's no price to pay, because it's already been paid by Jesus Christ. How many Christians never really grasp that? Never really live in the joy of it? Never really kind of get out the door of that storehouse with that wonderful righteousness and just keep drawing on it and living in it constantly? That righteousness is paid for by Jesus Christ. And the reason why is because we doubt, we don't believe what Jesus has done for us. I mean, Jesus Christ lived this life of perfect, sinless glory for a reason. Stored up that wealth of righteousness in his life for a reason. He did it for us. Did it for us. He didn't need to be in this world. God didn't need to come as a man, except for us. We thought about that this morning. We thought about how Jesus could have diverted at any point from what he was doing for our salvation. And it got more and more and more challenging and difficult as he went through his life and he reached Gethsemane and he faced the cross and he, on the cross, endured not only the agonies of the physical execution, but the terrors of the wrath of God. And he didn't turn back from that. He stayed the course for us. And he did it for us. Not for someone else. It's not for some other Christian that he did that so that some other Christian can really enjoy a wonderful relationship with God and Jesus, but we'll just struggle along and we'll just muddle along. It's not for that. It's not to be like that. He did it for you. That righteousness in that great storehouse of heaven, that righteousness of Jesus, is for you. It's Christ's righteousness, as verse 17 says, a righteousness from God for you. And you and I need to believe that. And believing it, we need to take great comfort from it and live in great confidence because of it and draw into great closeness with God through it. Let's pause for a minute and read a passage in the Gospel of Matthew. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and at verse 27. A little story of two blind men and Jesus. So Matthew 9 and verse 27. We read that as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Can you just imagine for a moment that drama where Jesus is being followed by these men, and they finally track him down to this house, and Jesus says, do you believe that I'm able to restore your sight, is what he's really asking there. And they say, "Yes, Lord." And then he touches their eyes, and then he says, "According to your faith will it be done to you." So in that moment, he's saying, "It's over to you, boys. Do you believe? Do you really believe?" And it turns out they do, because their sight is restored. They did believe that Jesus could restore their sight and that Jesus wanted to restore their sight. And because of that, their sight was restored. But Jesus enunciates a really important principle here. He says, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And as Christians, that's how it is. If we have very little faith in what Jesus has done, then we'll have very little enjoyment of what Jesus has done. If we have very little faith in that righteousness, in that storehouse full of righteousness, very little faith that what's on those shelves, if you like, of righteousness of Jesus is really for us, then we will have very little experience of the joy of salvation, the comfort of salvation, the peace of salvation in our lives. Faith brings comfort, brings joy, brings victory, brings transformation. And that's how we must live as Christians. We must exercise that faith. By faith, from first to last. That's how we live as Christians. But hang on a minute. I've only just really begun telling you about God's storehouse. I just actually have just told you about a little corner of it, where the righteousness of Jesus is. That's just the beginning. That's just what's there as you walk in the door. But let's go a bit deeper into the storehouse and see what else is there. Well, Jesus told us some of it in the Lord's Prayer. There's a whole pile of shelves full of daily bread. Another pile of shelves full of forgiveness. Another pile of shelves full of deliverance from evil. There's another corner that's full of answers to prayer. Another one with peace. Shelves full of peace. Another area of the storehouse is about the work of the Spirit. The Spirit's fruit in our lives, the Spirit's gifts in our lives, the Spirit's power in our lives. in that area where there's answer prayer, we could look at some of the answers. Maybe there's an area that's about jobs that we're looking for, and we're seeking a new line of work. However, there's jobs for us. Maybe we're needing some friends, and we can pray about that. There's friends for us. You know, whatever we're asking for, there are shelves full of it in God's storehouse. And salvation for other people. There's a whole area of the storehouse full of that. So we pray for other people to come to know Jesus. Healing, physical healing, emotional healing in our lives. There's a whole area of the storehouse full of that. By faith from first to last. Life, spiritual life. Guidance for our lives. Freedom in our lives. Perseverance in tough situations in our lives. Blessings without end. They're all there. And we can go as Christians into this storehouse and just keep filling up the trolley. Because this is how we live. It's by faith from first to last. Righteousness is only the beginning. The scriptures tell us about so much more. They tell us in Ephesians 1 verse 3 that in Christ we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing. Adoption into God's family. An inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away. Reserved in heaven for us. Resurrection on the last day. Eternal life. It's all there in the storehouse of God by faith. And we can just live in the knowledge of all these things, that they're there for us. That God's incredibly superabundant generosity has laid it all on for us. A feast of rich things. And it's all there. For you and me. It's all there for sinners. It's not for someone else. It's not for some imaginary people who are worthy. It's for the unworthy. It's for the undeserving. If Jesus was tonight standing before us at the front of the church, handing out golden tickets which entitled you to free access to take whatever you need from God's stores, would you rush to the front and grab a ticket? Would you be a reserved Highlander and say, "Oh no, I can't do that"? No, because that is not funny. It's funny and it's not funny, is it? Because it's terrible that we as human beings just can't grasp the nature of salvation, that it is a free gift. Just as a little aside, I'm reminded of preaching in a congregation on Skye a few years ago, and I used that illustration, I know I've used it here before, in the children's address, where I just basically stood at the front with a £10 note and I said, "Anyone who wants this £10 note can have it." And they all looked at me. And then one little boy came out and he took the £10 note, put it in his pocket and went back to the seat. And I thought, yes, he's got it. He's got it. And I went on to explain, that's the gospel. At the end of the service, I was shaking hands with everyone at the door. And do you know what? The little boy's father took the £10 note from the boy and tried to give it back to me. Please understand the nature of salvation. The nature of salvation is a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. We don't pay for it. When we try to check out in the storehouse with all our heavenly goods, we find they've already been paid for by Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is indeed standing at the front, and he is, with golden tickets entitling you to all the riches of what is in God's storehouse. Will you come and take one for yourself? Or will you doubt him? Will you doubt him? Will you say, it's too good to be true, Roddy? It can't be true, because life's not like that, you see. There's no free lunch. There's nothing that is just gratis. Well, there is. Gratis. Grace. God's undeserved favour. Would you perhaps not take the ticket because you'd think he wouldn't have what you need? You're some special case. Maybe Jesus didn't think of your needs. Maybe Jesus hasn't got what you need to be right with God. Somehow he overlooked you. You're a really special person. Got really special sins. No. Nothing special about sin. I find that in my pastoral work. I sometimes have men, women, usually men, say to me something about their sins, and they say, I'm so ashamed, I can't even hardly talk about it. I feel so bad having told you. And they have this illusion that they're the only person in the world that's got this particular sin. There's nothing new under the sun. Jesus has thought of it all. There's righteousness on the shelves of heaven to cover your sins. Maybe you just be sort of falsely modest and say that you don't want to really trouble Jesus. Well, he's done the trouble already. We thought about that this morning as we saw him sweating blood in Gethsemane. Jesus has gone to the trouble for you. And it would be a really great insult, actually, for you not to accept the hospitality that he offers you in salvation. He's gone to the trouble. So why don't you just come and take what you need, believing that in his heart is a thorough and complete generosity towards you in supplying all that you do need. Or maybe you're just ashamed. Paul says in verse 16, he's not ashamed of the gospel, but maybe you're ashamed of yourself. Maybe you're, you know, I know that so many people are full of shame. I come across that in my pastoral work all the time. People, and the most unexpected people, are full of shame. They can't imagine that Jesus would really want to have anything to do with them. And whether they've acquired that shame because of their upbringing, because many parents instill shame in their kids, sadly, or maybe they've acquired that shame because of the way they've lived and the sins they've committed, but it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ is not ashamed of his gospel. And he's not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. And we can take our shame and just find that there on the shelves there's righteousness to cover shame and all shameful things. So let's not be too ashamed to ask for the golden ticket of salvation. We need it. There's nothing more true than that. No one here can say that we don't need salvation, that we don't need righteousness. There isn't a reason why then you can't take the golden ticket from Jesus. There's no excuse that you can give that would mean he would say to you, oh, I see why you can't take the ticket. I understand. It's okay in your case. I'm sorry, I can't do anything about your problems. It's just not going to be like that with Jesus. He is able to save completely all who come to God through him. All. Completely. So tonight Jesus is handing out those golden tickets. Those golden tickets which cost him dearly that he would be able to provide them for us. They cost him dearly. And tonight we need one. We need to believe that. We need to believe that we need one. If indeed that needs faith. because it should be pretty obvious to us. If our lives are bereft of God, if our lives are alienated from God, yeah, it should be pretty obvious to us. And we need that ticket. We need salvation. We need that righteousness from God. We need to believe it. And we need to believe as well that Jesus is offering it to you. Just like the two blind men, Jesus really is offering healing of their blindness. Jesus is offering us salvation, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. A righteousness that is sufficient to our needs, that is superabundantly more than our needs. And every good thing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Jesus is offering that in his, to us in salvation. He's offering it to us, a righteousness from God. A righteousness from God that's revealed, that is by faith. And we come now tonight and we take that ticket. You must do that. You must take that ticket, and you take it by faith, and you take it in prayer. You just come to God and you take it in prayer. And you say, thank you. And, you know, you can elaborate as you feel necessary. You can confess your sin and why you need that righteousness. You can thank him for what he's done for you. And you can ask him for what you need. And you can fill your basket. You can fill your trolley with his righteousness and all of the blessings of salvation. He's not going to grudge it to you, because it's he who's filled the storehouse for you. He's filled it for you. And you have to come now and receive it. I'm speaking to everyone. If you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian, you've got to come and take more. Take and take more. A righteousness from God that is by faith from first to last. Receive, trusting. Believe and receive all that you will ever need for relating to God forever. As a child with a father who will make sure that we lack no good thing. Hallelujah.